that evening for the wonderful reading and their conversation. And, of course, to Novel Idea for always being there. You are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And just a quick reminder that every week I upload both hours of my of this show to my personal blog space for it, and you can find it there at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. They will remain there for 3 years. Tell you what, let's go ahead and do this, and then I'll catch you right on the other side.
Hello, this is Ellie Sturton, this year's Arts News Coordinator and co-producer of CFRC Live Sessions and Release Radar Reels on Instagram. CFRC is thrilled to amplify local artists and musicians on our airwaves and social media, and to provide opportunities for them to get the word out about upcoming local concerts and events. Local really does live here at CFRC. Help us keep the magic going by making a donation to the station today via cfrc.ca. And thank you for your support.
Looking for a ride? Download the Modern City Taxi app to your mobile device and get to your destination quickly and safely while supporting a proudly Canadian local business, keeping your money in the community. Download the app now and get extra benefits like free advance booking, the ability to add your credit card and pay on the go, enjoying the freedom from price surging during high demand times. You can also call for a cab at 613-546-2222 any time of day or night for comfortable and speedy transportation. Serving Kingston since 1939, Modern Taxi proudly supports local radio and the Queens community. It is your number one service for fast local transportation. Learn more at moderncitytaxi.ca.
Hello and welcome to Salt Licht in Rapture. I'm your host, Nishan Tung. Salt Licht in Rapture is a sonic exploration of, to quote Virginia Woolf, violent waves of emotion. Featuring both known and lesser known musicians and poets, a special emphasis is placed on oddball, enigmatic, outsider artists whose work invokes dreamscapes and feelings of alienation, nostalgia, melancholy, existential unease, and yearning. Join me on Fridays at 8 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM.
And you are listening, I should say, at the time. It has just turned about 3 minutes after 5 o'clock, and I'm still having issues with my mic or my earphones here. Let's try that here. Sorry about this. And thanks for tuning in to CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located here in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. Again, my name is Bruce, and this is Finding a Voice, spoken word program airing here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And for those of you who might have just tuned in, welcome to the second part of today's show. If you just tuned into the show that began at 4 o'clock in the first hour from a November 11th event at Novel Idea Bookstore, those listening heard Donna Nebersall joined in conversation with writer Mark Abley as she launched her new book called To Linger With You. And coming up now in this second hour from a November 23rd event held at Leopard Frog Farm, you're going to hear Ann Archer launching her new collection of poetry called Prompted. Also woven through the reading were instrumental interludes performed by her and Chris Coleman, and together they are known as Dragonfly. I'm going to go ahead and just jump right into this. I will let you know that we are in the middle of our, in fact, just crossed the middle of our annual funding drive here at CFRC, and We're looking to raise $25,000 over the course of these 2 months. If you go to www.cfrc.ca, our website, and click on the donate tab at the top of the page, you can open up and find out all about the funding drive. You can get a tax receipt if you go one way, or you can qualify for gifts and raffle. Let's do this first. If you want a tax receipt, you can go through Queen's University, and that will then, we can't issue a tax receipt, but Queen's can. So it all goes to the same place, but it just goes through, takes a different road to get here. So you can go there if you want a tax receipt, if you just want to qualify for prizes or take part in the raffle, you can go to go through CFRC. So it explains everything much better as well than I am doing right here, right now. So I would highly recommend it. If you're at all interested, please do that. And the one thing I want to do, too, because I know a number of you listening have already donated, and so I just want to give out my heartfelt thanks to those of you that have already donated to the funding drive. The last I saw, we were about maybe not quite, but maybe getting close to 2/3 of the way there. So we're making progress. So thank you, and every little bit helps. So thanks again. Okay, let's go ahead and move into the second launch I'm airing today from a November 23rd event. It was held at, it was a beautiful day out in the middle of a lot of beautiful countryside, and at Leopard Frog Farm, that afternoon, Ann Archer launched her new poetry collection called Prompted, and woven through the reading, you will hear instrumental interludes performed by her and Chris Coleman. Together, they're known as Dragonfly. Let's go ahead and just go right straight into that now. Enjoy.
Thank you all for coming on such a crappy day. But then I was thinking, you know, what better place to be on a day like today than in this gorgeous space listening to poetry. And I'm launching Prompted. Copies are available for sale. They are out by the food area, and they're $30 each, and I will be happy to sign after the reading. Prompted has been in the works for almost a decade, and in its current form since 2022. The book is divided into four chapters. Chapter one is called Invent, to create a past, a family. Chapter two, Pose, to try out a position or persona. Three, Revisit, to return to a time, a past, a poet. And the final chapter is called Shift, to change direction, form, or genre. In chapter one, I invent my birth family. I've always known I'm adopted, and I didn't start looking for my birth mother until I was an adult with teenage children. I wasn't angsty, but I was curious. After being given the runaround by various adoption agencies who couldn't decide whether I was adopted in Alberta or Manitoba, I finally received identifying information about my birth mother. Of my birth father, there was scant news. Sorry. Armed with a few facts gleaned from ancestry, I invented a birth family. Initially, I had no qualms. All my parents were dead. I had no siblings. And this was clearly my story to tell. Then in 2023, through a bit of serendipity and Facebook, I met my one living blood relation, my first cousin, who supplied me with a few pictures of my mother, my maternal grandparents, and my aunt. I was astonished. The meeting, well, you can picture the meeting. It was cordial and awkward, but generally very positive. Meanwhile, my manuscript, in which I name names and spin stories about my birth family, the manuscript was making the rounds of a handful of publishers and was accepted by an American press, Kelsey Books, and that's a whole other story. My quandary, how to square my story with my newfound cousin's lived experience. Will my tale offend or hurt? I have, after all, played fast and loose with her loved ones and have blurred the lines between fact and fiction, though I am clear to specify that chapter one is an invention. I thought of revising the chapter by changing the key names, but that gesture seemed disingenuous. And all the fire went out of the poems when I tried. After talking to some of my friends who know the lure of a good story and who also acknowledged my scruples, I decided to let Kelsey Books publish prompted. In the end, I reckon that this is my story to tell, and that the telling is, and pardon the pun, legitimate. But I have yet to send a copy to my cousin. And I'm not going to read from chapter one this afternoon. So Chris and I are going to start. This is Chris Coleman, as you know. We are a duo called Dragonfly. I was going to say I only play with Chris. This is another Chris whom I play. We are going to start with some old Hungarian dances. I'm just going to...
I forgot to offer some light banjo music while you were giving your introduction.
Thank you.
Thanks for not offering.
I know. Thank you. Oh, bring on the Prosecco. Okay.
So this is where I get to sample Anne's Prosecco. Try and resist.
You've got witnesses. Well, I'd like to start with a bit of whimsy, not of my making. It's called Why I Write by Alex Dawson, who I believe is a young Toronto poet. Why I Write. Because when I was a girl, maybe 7 or 8, and already so battered by this life, I realized that a pencil looks an awful lot like a witch's wand. Lessons for Barbara and Leslie. He must have hated it, his day job, that foppish Englishman, chain-smoking rehearsal pianist for the Royal Winnipeg Ballet School. Hated us, a class of prepubescent girls in black leotards and slippers from Malabar's, some of us eager, most of us uninterested in his music, his precious crotchets and quavers, demi-semi-quavers, hammered out at a nod from our dance mistress, Miss Jean McKenzie, with her bottle red hair, made-up eyes, and take-no-prisoners tongue. Erstwhile principal dancer, now teacher. In the second-floor studio on Graham Avenue, redolent of chalk dust, sweat, and the funky smell of cooking grease from the across-the-street all-you-can-eat Midtown buffet. I hated the long bus ride from the suburbs to downtown with my mother. Hated how in the sticky warmth of a crowded bus my skirt clung to my legs when I rose to get off. Hobbled, embarrassed, off balance even before the lesson. Not my world. Pliés and jetés, pas de chat. Executed with pointed toes, arms expressif. Outstretched, curved like an embrace. And those funhouse mirrors. Floor to ceiling that reflected, distorted, a sturdy body. Better suited to sports like skating, running. It was hard work to hold a pose. Unmoved by pleas and entreaties, my mother insisted on my weekly date with culture. For 4 years, I lived her dream, learned grace and poise and perfect posture. At puberty, my resistance went underground, and we moved east. Our love became ferocious. Unkind. In a recent photo, a candid shot, I am standing, shoulders straight, stomach flat, my hair pulled back, swept up in a dancer's knot. Now that my mother has been dead for decades, and I'm a mother, old enough to be a grandmother, who's to say when to bend? When to break, for whom to pose. No one gets off unscathed here in this book. I write about my birth family, my friends. Shameless. Willa, are you here yet?
She is?
She is, I saw her.
Washing up. My husband tells me I don't have to do them, especially as the mess in the kitchen is his anyway, and he's happy to take over this morning. But I need to do the breakfast dishes, need to fill the sink with suds. Unruly extravagant. when I have the house to myself, when I can put on music, chamber perhaps, what best suits the weather, inside and out, clear the counter, clear my head, and wash my grandmother's bone china plate, the same plate on which she served bread and biscuits and cake. Her tiny kitchen, a Paris bakery on Portage Avenue, all yeasty warm. She's been dead all my adult life. My love for her, like a dream of home, pure and constant, not messy like mother love. What I bear for the mother I know and the mother who bore me. I've invented stories and lies to cover them both. What do I fill my daughter's heart with? Almost tidier to mother a son. My mother had a friend who called it washing. The R rough, like scour. Do I wash myself with as much deliberation as I wash dishes? More a lick and a promise these days. But so like my mother, as I smooth oil of Olay over my cheeks, chin, forehead, fingers circling, circling. When my daughter sliced her thumb, she let me do her dishes until her wound healed. Washing up at my son's place, I cut my finger on a shard of glass and bled onto this page. The next day, a poem had formed. I wasn't always so sanguine about dishes. Petitioned 2 decades ago, armed with the second shift, for a 50-50 split of domestic duties and a room of my own. You can imagine how well that played out, or how it goes for that matter, even in the best of relationships. After the family wedding, I spotted the tiniest of cracks in my grandmother's plate. My husband fixed it with crazy glue. When it hardened, I wiped it clean. Sometimes atonement feels like grace. Chris and I have some Irish airs for you now on these 2 low D whistles. It's best if I put the fipple in my mouth.
So we hear and then...
Yes, we're going to play. Yeah, this and then...
Okay, I think I remember the rule.
Anyway, it is playing, first of all.
Thank you.
Stan Dragland, in one of his books, I think the last book that he wrote before he died, Stan says that a poem is hand clasp across a mutual loneliness. When darkness comes like a swift black falling, an uninvited guest who harbors a dream of revenge, or like us, beloved, you and I, who after 40 years still peace and parcel our love, vultures who carry our hard-done-by-ness as bits of flesh and small bones, something to tide us over like a bargain until darkness comes. I have a friend who writes love poem after love poem to his dead wife when darkness comes, as though every memory were glorious, every word kind as touch, soft as lips brushing a cheek, every thought generous as flesh ripe in its come hither wonder. Poem after poem, a bridge over a swift black falling, something to tide him over until darkness comes. Sometimes we set a place at our table for the uninvited guest, you and I, generous then like beloved friends, kind as a 40-year marriage, our love a bridge or a bargain, like poem after poem, a glorious parcel of flesh and small bones, a dream like a memory to harbor until darkness comes. This is this poem is called Into It, and this is an erasure of Bronwyn Wallace's poem Into the Midst of It. Some of you may remember Bronwyn, many of you will remember Bronwyn, fabulous poet, and her narrative poems always take us in places that surprise us. This is an erasure of one of those gorgeous narrative poems, Into It. A map. Open it. Enter silence. Get lost. Highways, numbers, signs. Now. Look for unpaved roads. Lose your head, heart, the road. Begin to notice other people. Patterns. Figures that swim below. You love their faces. Look. Recognize. This doesn't hurt. Your love belongs to the heat, meaningless as the earth itself. You made plans. Only the road enters that kind of love. Put words when you get there. Turn. Okay. Time for a swig of Prosecco. Sláinte. I helped to keep Chris's chops up on the clarinet. The first
which means almost sometimes I only play when a hand comes by.
I am. God. And I try to come by on a weekly basis or every 2 weeks. And the first thing Chris always says to me is, oh, my God, I haven't picked up my instrument since the last time you were here. How's that for a build-up? Oh, yeah, I know.
I know.
Jeez. These people with whom I play.
Completely unfamiliar situation.
Yeah, I know. Holy smokes. This is a jig, a Baroque jig by a musician called Bois Mortier, or composer and musician. He wrote a lot of music for flute.
Oh,
forgot to leave me a copy of it.
By the way. What are you telling me? Oh, I'm seeing it.
I might extemporize a little bit. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Remember this?
But we are doing everything. Yeah, doing both repeats.
Yes. We are. We're doing both. Yes.
Good.
And who knows?
Let's see.
Of the pandemic. The birds return in shifts. Robins first, intrepid scouts. Crows who crowdsource. Blackbirds thick in the conifers. The geese who sense a change in the air, alter their flight path, keep a distance. And that unknown bird who fills twilight with, "You girl, you girl, you pretty, pretty girl." The trees wake like sleepers from a dream of plenty. The forest on edge, wary of change, even as snow gives way to water pooling in the hollows between pine and spruce. Brown needles and green fans of cedar and juniper fill the air with a tang and a sigh, a memory of something found, then lost. The cats eye us with disinterest, as usual, preen themselves and pester to be let out, not to prowl in meadow or wood, but to linger, to pounce and twitch and shimmy in the sun that, against all odds, strikes the south-facing porch solely for their delight, a few minutes earlier each day. Mm-hmm. A little bit of klezmer. Liz, I'm supposed to give you the heads up. How many times has that tuner hit the floor? Dance music. Not that there's a lot of
music. You'll match it. Yeah. Remove our knees.
Let's move your knees, okay. Yeah. But think of
chair dancing.
Yes, chair dancing. Yes. Yes. Heather, who is a a dancer, could lead us in this the chair dance. W.H. Auden once famously quipped that Poetry might be defined as the clear expression of mixed feelings. I'm going to end with two ghazals. A ghazal is a Persian verse form that consists of a number of unrhymed couplets. The couplets, each couplet is a syntactical unit unto itself. And the couplets are related loosely. Imperfect ghazal for the children of the last czar's lost daughter. I said how quickly we become our stories, but I meant our mothers. My mother was a fish out of water, and my birth mother a phantom limb remapped to the heart by the body's faulty sensory circuitry. How can a heart know what it wants? The leaf of the bloodroot wraps itself around the blossom like a galpin. One more. Ghazal for dark December. Britain's ceremony of carols. Shards of light or razor blades? Duplicate, imitate, replicate, infiltrate, ingratiate, legitimate. The hilltop is hollow, as though I'm dancing on the skin of a drum. Just past solstice, the lake booms and sighs, the wind goes underwater. Forgive me for wanting to speak of gratitude when our best crop is rocks. Thank you. What you've all been waiting for, goodies. but before, I've got some important thank yous. Chris. Thank you, dear Chris. My partner in Dragonfly. Thank you, Chris. Ellen, who may or not be here, may or may not be here, thank you. Thank you both for hosting. It means more than I can say to be a leopard frog. Liz Shoemaker, who's probably in the kitchen, thank you for your yummy treats and for baking bad with me yesterday. Chantel Lavoie and Callista Markitich. Thank you so much for your gracious endorsements. I mean, you're going to make people want to read the book or buy the book. And buying the book is perhaps more important than reading. Just saying. Just putting it out there. Thanks to Kelsey Books for publishing Prompted. And thank you all for coming out this afternoon to help me celebrate. We will pipe you out with another bit of klezmer. You can get up now if you wish.
Yeah.
Well, oh my God. Whoa.
Thank you.
And you just heard from a November 23rd event held at Leopard Frog Farm, Ann Archer launching her new poetry collection called Prompted. And you did hear woven through that reading were instrumental interludes performed by her and Chris Coleman, together known as Dragonfly. It is about getting close to 53 minutes after 5 o'clock. And right now, before we start the slide out of here, my heartfelt thanks to all of you out there for tuning in to the show today. And to Anne, and in this hour, to Anne and accompanied by Chris for their beautiful launch event at Leopard Frog that Sunday afternoon. I will just, I think maybe I'll do this first. I just wanted to say you are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. And just a quick reminder that I do upload both hours of my show each week to my personal blog space for it at Finding a Voice on CFRCFM.wordpress.com. They do remain there for 3 years. And I'm hoping after the show ends, you can please stay tuned for 2 hours of East Coast music in a show called Saltwater Music by Rob Carnell. And one thing I want to do before I slip out, though, is just one quick mention again. We are, CFRC is in the middle of their annual funding drive. And I don't know if you know this, but something I like to mention is CFRC is the oldest campus community radio station in Canada, and actually one of the longest running broadcasters in the world. It was created in 1922 and has been sustained by just hardworking and heartfelt volunteers with their own visions for this 103 years. If you'd like to help keep that tradition alive and kick off a chance for future generations to be part of this and for CFRC to share everything they put out into the world as far as music and spoken word, click on CFRC.ca today. You can donate in 2 ways, either through Queen's University to get a tax receipt, or you can donate directly through our website to get amazing free gifts from CFRC and local sponsors, plus up to you win chances to win raffle prizes. So, again, www.cfrc.ca. And all of the information, if you at the top, you'll see a line of links that you can click on. Just choose the one that says donate, and it has all of the information there. And I'm hoping you can stay, I hope you can tune in again next week. I think I'm probably going to be airing at least one or maybe two more book launches next week. We've had a rash of them in Kingston, and I'm hoping to get them all aired before the end of the month and then start into something else after the first of the year. And it's hard to believe we're talking about that already, but we are. And again, I hope you can tune in next week. I hope you have a great week, and I hope you can stay tuned for 2 hours of East Coast music in a show called Saltwater Music by Rob Carnell. And then there's another great show that's new with Nishan Tung, Salt Licked in Rapture, and you can another show after that. So, and there's just more and more. So anyway, hope you all have a great week. Catch you here next week.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
CFRC 101.9 FM's annual funding drive is now underway and running through December 31st. Donate today and get amazing CFRC prizes. For every $5 you donate, donors can also earn one more ticket for each of our raffle draws featuring prizes from wonderful local businesses including Agent 99, Atomica, Black Dog Tavern, Diane's Fish Shack and Smokehouse, Harper's Burgers, Domino's Pizza, Tango Nuevo, The Grad Club, Skin Fusion Spa, The Fun Zone, and Minotaur Games and Gifts. And don't forget to take our Release Radar Listener's Choice survey and vote for your favorite local artists that we air every day and enter for a chance to win even more prizes. Enjoy the benefits of helping CFRC support local music. Make your gift today via CFRC.ca.
Ryandale Transitional Housing announces its first annual Christmas Toy Drive. Running from November 1st to December 10th, Ryandale invites members of the community to bring a new unwrapped toy to the following locations in Kingston from Monday to Friday, 10 till 4. 146 Clergy Street East, 494 Fieldstone Drive, or 669 Victoria Street. Toys will be distributed by Loving Hands Kingston, supporting 80 agencies across Kingston. If you'd like more information, contact Mandy, programs at ryandale.ca, or Patty, operations director at ryandale.ca.
CFRC's annual funding drive campaign is now underway through December 31st. Help us raise $25,000 to support our local arts and artists and keep our community informed with local news, concerts, and event listings on air and on our website. Visit CFRC.ca today and make your gift to Kingston's longest-running broadcaster serving our community since 1922. Get a tax receipt via Queen's University or get sweet CFRC swag and enter to win our raffle draws featuring gifts from amazing local donors. For every $5 donated, you get one more chance to win. Thank you for your support.
Partners in Mission Food Bank could not exist without the loyalty, dedication, and support of volunteers, some of whom have been with us for over 30 years. Our team of volunteers consists of individuals who continually devote both their time and skills on a regular basis in an effort to make a positive impact on hunger and the food needs of the community.